Okay, in the Song Chumashim, we're on page 76. We're in the middle of the page. Patsik Chav Gimel. Perek Yudzayim Patsik Chav Gimel. Again, page 76 in the Song Chumashim. 2, 4, 6. 7 lines in the top of the page. Okay, the last thing we learned, Hashem told him, Sarah's going to have a baby. Avram said, why can't Yishmael be my offspring? Hashem said, no, that's no good. It has to be Davka Yitzchak. We explained, because Yishmael had an intellectual connection to Hashem from 13. Yitzchak, on the other hand, had this connection with Hashem from birth, so 8 days old. And therefore, the last thing we learned was, Vayala Lekimi Al Avram. Hashem went off. You can come closer. We don't... Hashem went off him, and like we said, that the others were like the chariot of Hashem. Wherever Hashem wanted them to go, that's where they went, and that's where they called the Merkava. Okay, so now it says like this. Pasuk of Gimel, 23, page 76. V'yikach Avram es Yishmael benoi. Avram took Yishmael his son. Now he take Yishmael, v'shikol yalidei beisei, all the children of his household, meaning the ones born as the servants. Eis kol miknas kaspei, all those that he had purchased for money. Kol zocha banche beis Avram, he took all the male people in the house of Avram. And guess what? Ve'yomel is beside alosam. He gave him a bris. Ve'etzem ayem azeh, kasher dibar ito elikim, as Hashem spoke with him. So now if you look at the order, it's interesting. Avram took, okay? And first, Rashi says, how did he take? Doesn't mean physically he grabbed Yishmael and then said, okay, let's go. He took him with words. You find that many times he took him with words. He said, you know, come on, let's do this great thing of a circumcision. You'll be connected to God in them. But if you notice, the order is like this. Avram took Yishmael, his son, then all those that were born as slaves in his house, everything he bought, and he did the bris. And the next pasuk says Avram was 99 when he did the bris. Now, who went first? Who went first? Did Avram do it first, then Yishmael, and then everybody else? Or did Avram do it last? Like, the pasuk doesn't say when Avram did it. The pasuk just says he took Yishmael, he took those that were born in his house, the slaves born in his house, the slaves he bought, all the male people in his house, and then the next pasuk said Avram was 99 when he did the bris. So it's interesting because the Or HaChaim learns, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, even though the Torah doesn't say it, he says that we must say Avram did a bris first on himself. Why? Because there are opinions that say an uncircumcised person cannot do a bris on somebody who needs to be circumcised. In other words, in order to do the mitzvah, you have to be obligated in the mitzvah, and you did the mitzvah. So therefore, they say it's just logical that Avram Avinu first circumcised himself, and then he circumcised everybody else. But other people say no. The Ramban, let's say, says no. Avram Avinu circumcised everybody else, and then he circumcised himself. Why? Why? No, if he would do himself first, he wouldn't be able to give everybody else. He'd be in pain, yeah. He would be suffering. How would he be weakened? How would he be able to give everybody a bris the same day? So therefore, the Ramban says in Pshat, in simple logic, it makes sense to say Avram did the bris on everybody else, and at the end he did it on himself. But there's another interesting thing over here. Second. Yeah, he took him with words. Okay. That's what the Ramban says. Why did he do Yishmael first? Why did he do Yishmael first? Because he wanted to show, you see, I'm doing it with my own kid. So obviously, there's nothing wrong. You guys could do it too. I did it with my own son, so obviously you could do it too. But also it says like this. He did it, Vayomol es besar odosam. Oh, by the way, it's interesting. Other people say, other commentaries say, who did the bris? Avram didn't want to do it. You know, it's pretty hard to do a bris on yourself. So it says in the Medrash, one opinion says that Avram got Noach's son Shem was still alive. Noach's son Shem was still alive. That was Malki Tzedek that we learned before with the four kings and the five kings. And he was the one that did the bris on Avram Avinu. That's what he says. Another opinion says, by the way, interesting. By the way, what I just said, that's came by the taste and pick of the Rabbi Lozer says here that Avram summoned Shem, the Shem of Noach, because why? Oh, another interesting point. Rashi said before, Shem was born circumcised. So biblically, he had the bris. Huh? Yeah, but he wanted. By the way, Adam was also created circumcised. Yeah. But he wanted that somebody that was, so to speak, circumcised would be able to do the bris on himself. But other people say, by the way, that Hashem held on to Avram's hand and Hashem helped him with the bris. Okay? Now, another interesting thing, if you look like this, okay, we didn't see the pasuk yet. Vavram, pasuk of Dal, and then we'll compare the psukim. Vavram ben Tishim v'teisha shana, Avram was 99 years old, v'himele b'sar olosei, when he circumcised his flesh, right, when he did a bris. But, look at the next pasuk. Yishmol b'nei, but Yishmol his son, ben Shleish Esrei Shana, he was all 13, Behimele Es Besad Alase. The Torah adds the word Es. But Avram Avinu just says, Behimele Besad Alase, without the word Es. Here, by Yishmol, the Torah adds the word Es. Now, what does that mean? What is the concept of Es? Okay? So there's a lot of issues here. Number one, the commentary say like this, that because Avram was old, so his foreskin was very, very weak. I mean, very rubbed out already, so to speak. You know, there's not too much there left to cut. So therefore, by Avram Avinu just says he cut Besar Olosei. Es, normally in Torah, when it says the word Es, Es HaShemayim, Es, the Torah is adding something. I'll give you a simple example. In the Ten Commandments, it says, honor your father and mother. Now, in Hebrew, to say that, it could have said, kaved avicha v'imecha. In Hebrew, kaved avicha v'imecha means honor your father and mother. Why does it say, es avicha v'es imecha? So the Gemara says, these two extra words teach us, older brother, other relatives, in-laws. By the way, that's what the term S. So S is a word that always includes something else. I'll give you an example. Take the first pasuk in Chumash. It says, Bereshis Baro Lekim, in the beginning God created, Eis HaShemayim, the heaven, Ve'Eis HaAretz, and the earth. The Torah could have said, in Hebrew, correct Hebrew would be, Bereshis Baro Lekim, HaShemayim Ve'Haaretz, the heaven and earth. Why is it Eis HaShemayim Ve'Eis HaAretz? So Gemara tells, there was one rabbi of the Gemara Belezer that every time the Torah said the word Es, he learned something additional from it. Like, Es HaShemayim means not only the heaven, but everything in the heaven. Es HaAretz doesn't only mean the earth, it means everything in the earth. You know, as like we said, by the Ten Commandments, your older brother, it adds different things. He came to the Pasuk, Es HaShem Elokecha Tira, you should fear God. But the pasuk doesn't say Hashem Elokecha Tira, which it could have said, fear God, fear God, your God. It says Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. So he said, this rabbi said, you know what? What am I going to include? It says fear Hashem. Who else are you going to fear? So he says, just like I got the reward for learning, I'm getting the reward for being silent. He basically said that if so, Es, the word Es cannot really do too much. Rabbi Kiva said to him, no, you're still good. Es HaShem Elokecha Tira, what is including? not only do you have to fear Hashem, you have to fear scholars. Because they know God's Torah, so it's godly. So he says, so even that, when it says fear God, it could include also something, scholars. So it says like this, by Avram Avinu, because it says S, because S Besar Alasi means by everybody else, it was firmer. It was, so to speak, harder to do the bris. Because, okay, we're gonna get too descriptive. But when you do a bris, there's two parts of every bris milah. Okay? There's a double skin there. There's a thicker skin, and there's a thinner skin. Now, when a male does a bris, if you ever watch, they pull out the outer skin, like, and then they cut it. And then there's an inside skin, which is weaker. They have to do what's called priya. They tear it with their fingernails. It's a very thin membrane. They tear it with the finger and they push it back. That the place is revealed. So there's two parts of every bris milah. There's mila and priya. And if you don't do mila, priya, mitzitza, there's in the rachman to say after a bris, at the meal of the bris, Layatza, you didn't do it. Like, as if you didn't do the bris. So by Avram Avinu, they didn't have to do priya because it was already so soft. When they just cut it off, it was good already. By the other ones, Yishmael and everybody else, because they were younger, so the foreskin was stronger. So then it as they had not only the outside skin, but even the inside skin they had to cut. And therefore, the Torah says, it's interesting, the commentary's point, by Avram it doesn't say the word S, and by Yishmael does say the word S. So by Yishmael we're including because it was a harder bris to do, rather Avram was a much easier bris to do. Now there's a very interesting question that the Mefarshim ask, the Medrash discusses it, there's a lot in Chassidus about, why did Avram Avinu, if he kept the whole Torah, we started mentioning this last week, but we didn't explain it. Why did Avram Avinu, if he kept the whole Torah before it was given, why didn't he do Bris Milah before it was given? He did all the mitzvahs. Why didn't he do the mitzvah Bris Milah? So that's, the Medrash's question is, why didn't God tell him to do a Bris earlier? Why did God wait until Avram Avinu was 99, yeah, and tell him to do a bris? He could have asked him when he was 75. He could have asked him when he was 40. I mean, like, was he waiting so long? So it says like this. The Medrash answers, because people that convert to Judaism, yeah, non-Jews that convert to Judaism, they have to do a bris. So a guy could be, let's say, 60-year-old convert, he'll say, oh, come on, I'm too old for this. So Hashem made Avram Avinu 99. He said, listen, he did it, you can also do it. That's the answer the Medrash gives, that it shouldn't disparage other people from wanting to do a bris milah, let's say if they're becoming as an example for all future people. But Chassidus explains, or another reason, by the way, he wanted, so why did he tell him before Yitzchak was born? Right? He gave him a bris, he told him right away Sarah's gonna get pregnant. He wanted Yitzchak to be born with the purity of a bris milah. So therefore he wanted the bris before Yitzchak's birth, it should be pure birth, and then he didn't tell it earlier. But there's another interesting concept about this, why God didn't tell him earlier. Because we quoted some of these psukim last week. We didn't explain this whole thing though. There's a pasuk that says, "Umaltem esar laslevavchem." You need to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. And I'm not talking about physically now. We're talking about spiritual circumcision. Circumcision means there's a foreskin agreement, a skin that covers something. The concept of a circumcision is cut it off. Now, there is the heart. that a person needs to motivate with love and fear of God. That's the whole purpose, right? To motivate and awaken your heart and love to serve God with love and fear. What happens sometimes? The heart gets a covering, like a stone covering, which means whatever you put on the heart bounces off. Pour water on a stone, it doesn't go through the stone, it bounces off. A lot of people's hearts, even though intellect is supposed to naturally, by the way, this is human nature, stimulate feelings, whether it's Torah or not Torah, intellect stimulates feelings. That's the bottom line. But sometimes you have the intellectual understanding, but the heart doesn't get turned on. So the Torah says, what's the problem? The problem, you have to do a bris on your heart. I mean, spiritually. What do you mean you have to get... Why isn't the head going into the heart? I mean, the intellect is coming onto the heart. Why isn't it penetrating the heart? So the answer is, there's a puzzle that says, I'm going to take off the stone heart from you. Sometimes the stone, the heart could be, even in English there's an expression, he has a heart like stone. What does that mean? Nothing penetrates. There's no feelings. What does that mean? And a stone, when you pour water on the stone, it bounces off. Sometimes intellect comes onto the heart and it bounces off. It can't penetrate the heart to function properly. It bounces off the heart. So what happens? So the Torah says, how do you get the intellect to affect your emotions? You need to circumcise your heart. Meaning, you have to get away this covering of stone that blocks the heart, and you gotta get rid of it. There's one passage that says, Umaltem es or las levavchem. Hashem says to the Jew, you have to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. That we have to do it. Another pasuk says, Umol Hashem, also in Chumash, Umol Hashem alokecha es levavcha ve es levav zarecha. Another pasuk says, God says, Hashem will circumcise your heart. So the question, who's doing it? Do we do it? Like one pasuk says, Umaltem, you have to do a bris on your heart, or is like the other pasuk, that God is doing it. So obviously, how do you reconcile these two sentences? So it's very simple. The Jew needs to initiate to try to circumcise his heart. We have to do what it takes to remove what's the blockage of the heart. When we do it, then God does his part from above, and he makes the heart penetrate much more than what we accomplish. Avraham Avinu wanted both levels of circumcision. He wanted the circumcision that he does, but at the same time, he wants the circumcision that God is going to give him. Now, all the other mitzvahs in the Torah were not, like we said, the essential bond between the Jew and Hashem is an individual mitzvah. In addition to the fact, you know, he could have put on tefillin every day or kept kosher or did lulav, but he could do it again. If Avram did a bris on his own and that God commanded him to do a bris, would he won't be able to do anything. There's nothing to do. It's done already. So therefore, Avram Avinu wanted to reach the level that God would do the bris for him, through him doing the bris first. So he had to wait for the time Hashem told him to do it. In other words, he couldn't do it before Hashem told him to do it, like all the other parts of Torah, Avraham Avinu did without God telling him to do it. Mila, he couldn't do it, because he wanted to reach in the bris, Mila, the circumcision, a level of godliness that he could only reach by God telling him to do it. There's no other way of doing it. What?
Can you give us an example of the circumcision of the heart? Like, what is something that you just means? I understand, like getting closer to Hashem.
Your question's better than the answer.
Is there something specific that you have in your mind?
There are things it says in Chassidus, it says, concept of going to the mikveh, and meditation into godliness, because eventually, you know, the famous story of Rabbi Akiva and his wife, when he first met her, you know, what happened over there? Everybody knows she was the daughter of the rich guy. Rabbi Akiva was a poor shepherd. And she always found a liking to have Rabbi Akiva, his sincerity. She really respected him for his, he was ignorant, but she respected him. And one time, she saw the way he was looking at a drop, water drop after drop after drop, that eventually did make a little hole in the rock. And she sees Rabbi Akiva analyzing that. So she says, Akiva, what are you looking at? And he said, I'm wondering if I keep learning Torah, maybe it can make a hole in my thick heart of stone and my brain. So she told him, definitely, I'll marry you. That's the whole story, the way she married Rabbi Akiva, went away for 12 years, another 12 years. But there is a concept of, first of all, it's working on it. You know, there are many, they say many great tzaddikim, great Torah scholars, that had below average heads. They say, Reb Shimon Shkop, people say, I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there then, but they say, as a child, his head wasn't brilliant head like a lot of other scholars. But he worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked, until he refined the head. By the way, the brain is one of the few things, the more you use it, the better it gets. Most things, the more you use it, the worse it gets. A brain, the more you use it, the better it gets. So, part of the circumcision of the heart is to just work on understanding, trying to make it penetrate, and the main thing it says, just do it. In other words, ideally, the meditation into the greatness of God, Torah, mitzvahs, and all that, should cause a person to love God, fear God, love the mitzvah, awe of the mitzvah. But so what happens? It doesn't work. So what do you do? So it says in Sfarim, you just do the mitzvah. Again and again and again, even if you don't want to, even if you hate it.
But they say if you hate it and if you don't like it, it's not gonna.
On the contrary.
Huh?
On the contrary. If somebody hates to do a mitzvah and they do it, they're much better off spiritually than one who wants to, loves to do the mitzvah. Somebody once came to the Alter Rebbe was released from prison tonight. She just kisses, but the Alter Rebbe's grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, a chassid once came into him and he said, "Rebbe, I have a big problem. I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn." So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, "You know, I have a bigger problem than you. I do want to learn." What did he tell him? "Because I want to learn. When I learn, there's no battle. There's no changing character. There's no work on my part." But he said, "Look at you. You don't want to learn. So when you learn, you're greater than me because you're doing a mitzvah you don't want to do." So on the contrary, like we said, what's the most important mitzvah for every individual to do? The mitzvah that they find hardest for themselves to keep. Why? The fact that it's hardest shows it's most important. So, part of the, this is what it says in Psalm. Part of the circumcision of the heart is, even if you don't want to do it, you do it anyway. And eventually, you will come to love it. You have the physical analogy of this, by the way. There are people that, let's say, love meat, and they're not into fish. They're not into fish too much. Yeah? Then God forbid they get sick. And the doctor says, "Okay, no more red meat. You need to eat fish," right? That happens a lot. So now, the person starts eating fish because they have to. They don't like it, but they have no choice. After a while, it gets to a point they won't even touch red meat. They don't even like it anymore. It doesn't make sense. It's me. It doesn't make sense. You love meat, you hated fish, all of a sudden you don't like. By eating it, by doing it, you change your character. So when somebody that's the circumcision of the heart, by the way. If it doesn't work, you do it anyway. Okay, Batsim Ayyem Azeh, next Pasik, Yechobah. Batsim Ayyem Azeh, Nimal Avram, Yishmael B'nai. And the essence of this day, Avram was circumcised, and again, like we said before, that doesn't mean Avram went first. It just says Avram and Yishmael circumcised themselves. Who went first? So the Ramban says Avram, Yishmael went first. The Aruch Chaim says Avram went first. There are various different opinions. Okay? Be'etzem Yemezeh. Now what is Be'etzem Yemezeh? Okay, so Rashi says, respectfully, Amber Alert. Huh? I had one today also. There's another one. I don't know. Anyway. So, Avram, whether he did it first, but Rashi says it was on their birthdays, when Avram hit 99 and Yishmael hit 13. Which according to that means they had the same birthday. Okay? But some Pasuk say that it happened on Yom Kippur. Why would you mention this lesson? Why? Because by Yom Kippur it says, Etzem Ayyem Azeh, Kilchol Asel Lei Su'una, whoever will not fast, Be'etzem Ayyem Azeh, in the essence of the day. You know, you get punishable by Kardas. So the fact that over there it says Etzem Ayyem Azeh, and here it says Etzem Ayyem Azeh, so it says, according to many opinions, that Avram Avinu had his bris on Yom Kippur.
When the angels came?
1 second, that's the second opinion. Okay, another place was, where was he circumcised? Where his blood remained was where the altar eventually was going to be built. Then Avram Avinu did the bris in the place and the area where the Mizbeach, the altar of the Beis Hamikdash was going to be rebuilt. Okay, Taisus says, Take, that this Medrash, according to him, say the bris was Yom Kippur. A lot of people say no, it refers to Pesach. That Avram had the bris, that makes sense with the angels and everything else. But the Torah said, by Etzem Yom Hazeh, but it says Etzem Yom Hazeh by Pesach also. By Etzem Yom Hazeh, all the Jews left Egypt. So, in other words, the Mepharshim say, some say, well, Yom Kippur, it says, so therefore the bris was Yom Kippur. Other people say, no, it says the same wording by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Batsim Yetzir Yotzu Kotzifas Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim, and therefore the bris milah was also done on Pesach. Okay, another, that Babinel says an interesting concept, that why, what do you mean Avram Avinu didn't hesitate? Be'etzem Yom Hazeh, they say, means in the middle of the day, the day got home to do it, he right away did it. Now, you have to understand, Avraham Avinu was an old man. Everybody in the house was circumcised. All the males were circumcised. He didn't think, oh my God, who's going to help everybody? All my workers are out for at least a few days. Right? So, he didn't care. Hashem told him to do it, he did it right away. That's what Be'etzem Yom Hazeh. But another thing is, and like we mentioned before, the guy that told Avram Avinu to do the bris, his name was Mamre, as we'll see at the beginning of Ayera. Mamre was, he had three friends, like it said by the War of the Kings. Onar, Eshkol, and Mamre. These were three of Avram's buddies. Avram Avinu asked him, we said last week, he asked him, should I do the bris? One said, no, are you crazy? Don't do it. Mamre told him, 100% do it. And another place it says, Avram Avinu did know, should I do it like quietly? Or should I do it publicly? So Mamre was the one that told him also, do it publicly. Let everybody see. Let everybody see that this is what you're doing. In fact, it's one of the 10 tests of Avram Avinu, was the fact that he had a bris. So Be'etzem Ayyem Hazeh means that in middle of the day, in front of everybody, he did the bris. He didn't care. He didn't care whatever people are going to say. He's stupid and crazy or come and stop him. He didn't care. He did it in the middle of broad daylight.
If someone did it today, they would probably say that.
What?
Even today, somebody does something, you know, so out of the ordinary, What? How would you look at it?
It depends what they're doing.
If God, something like that.
Listen, we do this every day. You think it's normal to stand in the street and put tefillin on with people? It's not very normal.
Are you passive?
It's not. Why do you do it? Because you need to do it.
But today we do brisket and bacon.
No, but she's saying, because at that time nobody did it, so it was like a crazy concept. Unheard of concept.
There's something else. There's some other form of... This would be weird if you go on the street and do something as weird as that.
Let me explain to you a simple point, which was discussed many, many times. When you're talking about your life, you don't care what people think. To give an example, today people do it anyway, but normally, normal people don't walk in the street like this. Correct? Normal people don't walk in the street like this. God forbid, if somebody's drowning and he wants to stay afloat, he's going to move his hands in crazy motions to stay afloat. Now, will it ever enter his mind, maybe I shouldn't do it because the people watching me are going to think I'm crazy? If he does, he deserves to die, maybe. Okay? The question is, normally, you're not going to walk in the street like this because everybody's going to think you're crazy. But when it comes to saving a life, and you're going to make those motions, you don't care what people think because it's your life. What people need to understand when it comes to Judaism, Yiddishkeit, Torah, Mitzvahs, this is our life. Ki hem chayeinu, this is the life of the Jew. Am I going to care that people make fun of me or laugh at me if I'm talking about my life? Who cares what they think? This is my life, this is my existence. In other words, let me paraphrase it. Once a person, I don't want to use the word convinces himself, but once a person realizes that this is my life, then they're not going to care anymore what people think. You first need, and this is the circumcision of the heart, by the way, you need to convince yourself that this is right. Once you convince yourself that it's right, then you don't have a problem doing it. A salesperson, can't say salesman anymore because that's not gender friendly. A salesperson, in order to be a good salesperson, they need to believe in their product. Honestly believe in their product. If you don't believe in your product, as much as a faker you are, it's not gonna work. You're a little bit here and there, but you're not gonna do it. Yeah? The first thing to sell a product is believing in it. Let's go to Yiddishkeit now. If a person wants to sell Judaism to other people, yeah? If you don't believe in it, really? You'll never sell it. You want to sell the concept of Mashiach to other people? First you have to believe in it yourself. For real. If you believe in it for yourself, for real, then you could sell it to somebody else. It's a very important concept in life. The same thing when it comes to whatever in life a person does. If you believe what you're doing is right, then you don't care what people think. You don't care what people say. You don't care what people do. So, I think the bigger job, perhaps, is the convincing of ourselves that this is the right thing to do. Because as long as you can't convince yourself, how in the world are you going to convince others? So, in simple English, if you want to be successful in putting on tefillin with people in the street, you got to really believe this is the right thing to do. If you want to tell people about Mashiach, you got to believe in him, that it's happening. Then you could sell it. Because the Gemara has an expression, Dvarim hayetzim min alev, nichnasim al alev, upelim pulasim. The Gemara says, words that come out of the heart, from the heart, enter the heart, and accomplish what it needs to accomplish. If you don't speak from your heart, meaning you don't believe in it, I don't mean heart, if you don't feel it, it's not gonna affect anybody else. Okay. Cholam she beisig, the last pasuk of the parsha. Page 76, the last pasuk. Cholam she beisig, you lead boys and miknas kasim eis beim nechad, and all the people, he circumcised him and Yishmael the son, and all the people in his house, whether they were born in the house, or that he bought, me'eis ben nechad, nimer lo ita, were circumcised together with Avram. Okay, that's what the end of parsha was. Okay, so let's start the next parsha Vayera on page 78. Now this is a story, before we even begin, this is a story that everybody really knows, okay? Avraham Avinu had a bris, God came to visit him, and all of a sudden three angels came, and he stopped talking to God, and he went to take care of the angel. And, you know, the whole story. It's interesting, the Ramban screams terribly against it. But the Rambam, Maimonides, says, this whole thing, the story of the angels, and the whole thing, was a vision of prophecy that he got when God appeared to him. Ve'yeda elav Hashem ve'leini mamrei, God appeared to Avraham Avinu. That means it's a vision of prophecy. When God appeared to him, come, hello, I'm here, and he saw a vision of a person. Right? But the Rambam says that because of that, in Meir Nevuchim, he writes that the whole detailed description of the vision, in other words, according to them, the three angels never really happened. It was a vision, a prophecy. He never gave him food. The whole thing was a vision, a dream, so to speak. The Ramban screams and he says, so, what do you mean God appeared to him? He only saw angels. If it was only a vision, then Sarah didn't bake cakes, nor did she laugh. Or the Rambam says also in Meir Nevuchim that, you know, last week, well, we read this past Shabbos, Yaakov fighting with the angel. The Rambam says it was a vision of prophecy. It wasn't actual fighting. So he says, so what's going on? He heard him in the thigh? I mean, the Rambam says, how could that be? How could the Rambam write in Meir Nevuchim, which is, by the way, the philosophical, not the halachic part of the Rambam, the philosophical part of the Rambam, he says, you can't say this is a vision because, no, come on, how did it happen? Did Sarah bake the cakes or not? I mean, she did. I mean, did he run and shecht an animal, gave him food, tongue? It happened. Anyway, okay, this is it. So now let's begin the parsha itself. Vayeda elav Hashem beleini mamri. Okay? Now, in the Medrash, these three words are very interesting. It says God appeared to him. Everybody else in the house also did a bris. Yishmael, all the servants. But the Torah says God didn't appear to them. It's a vayera elav Hashem. God appeared to him, meaning to Avraham. Now, normally, Hashem revealed himself to Avraham with the name Elohim. Okay? Or like, vayal Elohim meyal Avraham. Vayomer Elokim, the whole time it's Elokim. Now, it doesn't say Vayero Elav Elokim. Why did God reveal himself with the name of Hashem? Okay? Because Yudke Vavkene is the attribute of mercy, which is the attribute of healing. God came to heal Avraham Avinu from the bris. God came as a merciful thing that you're going to have a baby a year from now, right? All these things were the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which represents God as a merciful God, not as a punishing God. And therefore here the Torah says, Vayera Elav Hashem. Now, according to the Medrash, I'm not the Medrash, the Gemara, this was the third day of his bris. Third day of the circumcision, Avraham Avinu had a visit by God. So Gemara says, why? Because the third day after a bris is the most painful for adults, not for kids. For adults, the third day of the bris is the most painful. Okay? So therefore, Hashem came to visit Avraham Avinu on the third day of the bris to heal him. Now, what's interesting, by the way, and the commentators explain, why do we know this? How do we know this? If you look in the pasuk, it's very interesting. God appeared to him. Read the pasuk. God appeared to him in Eloni Mamre. He was sitting at the door of the tent in the heat of the day. Yeah? And then it says he picked up his eyes, he saw three guests. If you notice, what did God tell him here? God didn't tell him anything. Normally when God appears to you, he talks to you. Yeah, that's normally, you find all over Chumash. God appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu with the burning bush, and he spoke to him. Here, what's the pasuk saying? God appeared to Avram, and he doesn't say what he told him. So therefore the Mepharshim say, we must say, God didn't tell him anything. So why did God appear to him? So he must say, to heal him from the bris. Because otherwise he would have said that God spoke to him, and what God spoke to him. So in no way was it that he told him anything. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, from here you learn out, by the way, that it's a mitzvah to visit the sick. In other words, like this. The Gemara says, there's a pasuk in Chumash that says, V'alachta bedrachav. You should go in the way, in the paths of Hashem. The Gemara says, what does this mean? What does this mean? So the Gemara says, you have to copycat God. God feeds the hungry, you should feed the hungry. God clothes the naked, you should clothe people. God visits the sick, you should visit the sick. God buries the dead and comforts them. Like we find God came after Avram died, God came to Yitzchok to comfort him. At the end of Chumash it says, in fact the Gemara says in Saita, interesting statement, the Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed, with kindness. The beginning of Chumash, God made clothing for Adam and Chava. When they realized, they ate from the tree, right? They realized they were naked. So God made them clothing. So that's chesed, right? At the end of the Chumash, what does it say in the last few psukim? God buried Moshe Rabbeinu, which is another act of kindness. Torah begins with kindness and ends with kindness, which is interesting. It doesn't begin with words of wisdom and end with words of wisdom. I think Torah is law book. It should begin with law and end with law in the middle. There's some stories. The Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. To teach us that we have to copy God. And just say God visits the sick. It says, Mahu mevakar chela, af atem mevakar chela. God visits the sick, you have to visit the sick. God gives money to the poor to dress them, to clothe them. You have to do that too. God, and it's another interesting thing. There's a very interesting law in Rambam. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah to visit the sick. There's no mitzvah in the Torah. Look, in the 613 mitzvahs, it doesn't say anywhere as a mitzvah, visit the sick. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, a mitzvah to do comforting the mourners. It doesn't say anywhere. So the Rambam says, what are these mitzvahs? Or a mitzvah achnasas arachim. You're having guests. Yeah, we learn that from Avraham Avinu. But the question is, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you have to have guests. So the Rambam writes, in this halacha book, I believe, that all of these acts of kindness, b'kochelem, achnasas kala, v'yasames, we say at the beginning of Davin. The Rambam says all these mitzvahs are offshoots of the mitzvah of Yohavta L'Reacha Kameicha, love your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting. The Rambam says the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, where does it say in the Torah visit the sick? Because it says in the Torah Yohavta L'Reacha Kameicha, you should love your friend. And just like if you'd be sick, God forbid, you would want people to visit, so then you have to go visit them. You'd want people, if you were in a city and you need a place to eat, you'd want people to take you in the place. So you have to do the same thing. That's part of your haftarah. They're not separate mitzvahs. But here it's interesting. Hashem's purpose of the visit here was to heal Avraham Avinu. And by the way, that's why he had three angels, that he was destroying Zidane, and that he's going to have a baby. These are the reasons. Okay. So, in the tents of Mamre, we're sitting by the door of the tent in the heat of the day. Which means as follows. Hashem didn't want Avraham Avinu to have guests. He was sick, frail, weak. He just had a bris. Avraham personified hospitality. Like it says in Sefer Aboyed, which is the early, all the way back to Svarim, it says that the attribute of kindness, of Atzilus, the highest level of kindness, came to Hashem and said, you know, since Avraham Avinu is existing, he took away my job. I can't do chesed. He does all the chesed. He took away my job. Avraham Avinu personified chesed. So Hashem didn't want Avraham Avinu to have guests. Nevertheless, Avraham Avinu was standing by the tent, the door of the tent, in the heat of the day. What does it mean, in the heat of the day? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that normally there's a ozone layer, if you want to call that in English, that blocks the power of the sun, that we can handle it. That day, Hashem took the ozone layer off, and he brought out the sun in its full intensity. Why? That'd be too hot for people to walk in the street, and Avraham Avinu wouldn't have to occupy himself with guests. Nevertheless, Avraham Avinu didn't say, oh, it's too hot, I'm sure nobody's coming in the street today, you know? Therefore, no, what did he do? He went to the tent, and he was still looking for guests. When Hashem saw Nebuch, the poor guy, wants guests, Hashem brought him the three angels. But if you notice, it's a very interesting thing. You just look at the pasuk, what we said before from the commentaries. Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu in Eloni Mamre. And again, why does it say in the plain of Mamre? Because Mamre gets an honorable mention because he told Avraham to do the bris in the middle of the day. You know, that's where he got honorable mention. And he was sitting by the tent in the middle of the day with all the heats. Okay? Now, there's a famous story when the Rebbe Rashab, whose birthday is usually when they read Parshas Vayera, 20th of Cheshvan, he was a 5-year-old kid, and he used to go into his grandfather, you know, daily or weekly, the Tzemach Tzedek, after school. He comes into the Tzemach Tzedek, his grandfather, and he starts crying. So a 5-year-old kid starts crying. So Tzemach Tzedek said to him, why are you crying? Like, what's the problem? He said, I learned in Chumash today that God appeared to Avraham Avinu. Right? God appeared to Avraham Avinu. Why doesn't God appear to me? And the kid was crying. Why did God appear to Avraham Avinu and not appear to me? So his grandfather said to him, and there's two versions in the story. He said that when a Jew who is 99 years old realizes that he needs to do a circumcision, he is worthy that God should appear to him. What does this mean? So the Rebbe explains it in many, many talks. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the end of the fifth parak, 5 years old, you start learning Chumash. 10 years old, Mishnah. 13, Bar Mitzvah. You know, it goes through the whole cycle of life. Then it says like this, Bemeya, the last thing the Mishnah says, Bemeya, when you're 100 years old, Ki'ilu Mes, it's like you died, Ba'avar O'batum and Elam, and you're passed away, you're out of the world. Now, when you learn the Mishnah, this face value is pretty cruel. A guy merited, or a woman merited, to live 100 years. You say, you know, it's like you're dead. You're senile, or over bottom, you're over bottom. It's like you're senile already. I mean, a guy merited, it's a merit to live 100 years. Why in the world is the mission like putting it so down? It's like you died and you left the world. I mean, this is what you tell a guy who reached 100. So the explanation is not what the explanation is. The explanation is far deeper. 100 is the 10 attributes of God, each one composed of 10. Right? Sphere Seimu, we have the 7 times 7 is 49. But including the 3 intellectual levels, there's not 7, there's 10. And each one is composed of each other. So there's 10 times 10. 100 in Torah represents completeness. Perfection. Perfection. You reached 100, you are perfect. That means you worked with all 100 parts of your soul, 10 times 10, and you ended up to be a perfect Jew. What's 99? I'm almost perfect. I'm almost perfect. So a guy who's almost 99 will think, I mean, a guy who's 99 thinks, come on, I'm 99% there yet, I'm perfect. What was Avraham Avinu's greatness? Yeah, God told him, but what was his greatness? He was almost at perfection, 99, and he still realized he has to perfect himself by cutting off the foreskin. Cutting off the heart, remember, like the covering of the heart. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to this 5-year-old kid, a Jew who at the age of 99 understands that he needs to circumcise himself, he is worthy that God should appear to him. And that's, by the way, what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is not speaking derogatory. Olam, which means world, comes the word concealment. Hiding, helam, concealment. The Mishnah say when you reach 100, meaning you refine all 100 levels of yourself, it's like you are removed from the concealment of godliness, you merit to have the revelation of godliness. But what the Rebbe said in this, there's a lot to talk more about this whole pasuk, and next week is Chanukah, there's no question. So, what the Rebbe said was, you see another interesting thing from the story. And the fact that we are told the story means we need to learn lessons from it. What bothers a 5-year-old kid? Not that he doesn't have candy, not that he doesn't have whatever. What bothers a kid to the extent he cries? The fact that God doesn't appear to him and he appeared to Avraham Avinu. And the Rebbe said the fact that we are all told the story means we can all reach that level in a certain way. In a certain way, we can reach the level of what bothers us. Not they don't have 3 cars, 10 cars, 40 houses, 50, you know. What bothers the person? Why God doesn't appear to me? He appeared to Avraham Avinu. Why doesn't he appear to me? Okay, to be continued. The Mitzvah Shem in 2 weeks.